Hey, podcast listeners, it's Cameron McMurtry with the Common Thread Podcast. Today's episode is all about the Boston accent. Where can you find it? What makes it so iconic? And what does it mean if it disappears? Today I spoke to Catherine Kennedy and Karen Brown of the Howard Thurman Center, both Boston natives. Could you define the Boston accent for me? So do's and don'ts that make the accent what it is.
Don't say your R's. Add like an R to words that don't have it, like idea. What else?
I think that we think we speak the proper King's English, with or without an accent.
You do, I don't. I'm sure the Queen would die if she heard the way we talk.
Well, probably, but I'm just saying that Bostonians have that kind of...
Well, it did all start here.
Yes. Yeah. So we feel as though we speak, of anybody in the nation, we think that we speak proper English.
Do you remember the first time or a story about when someone told you that you had an accent, that your words sounded different or not as if they should, that you were really internalizing that you did have that Boston accent?
I don't think no one says it to you until you leave Boston and you go other places. And then when you, people, if they know you're from Boston, may ask you to say certain words. It's usually park the car in Harvard Yard. But we say park the car in Harvard Yard, so we don't have that R, it's more like an H sound. And for me, I don't recall people talking about my accent in growing up, because everybody was a Bostonian. And you know, you have to realize that it's only been since the early 70s that a lot of different people came from different places to Boston, so that we all thought of us as having the Boston accent.
I would have sworn I never had a Boston accent till I was like 21 and then moved to New Jersey. And I would just say, hi, how are you? And people would be hysterical. And different people I knew had different, they introduced me, hi, this is Karen from Boston. Karen, say PSDS. And I'd be like, no. This is Karen from Boston. Say park the car. And I'd be like, no. And I live with this family, and this the mother said, oh, you know, your father called. He has a worse accent than you do. And I was like, oh. So it wasn't until then that I knew. And I would actually talk to people, and they would laugh. And I'd be like, one time my roommate asked me a question, and I go, yes. And she was like, oh my God, yes. And I was like, okay, this is not fun. But yeah, that was the first time I knew.
I think the most frequent time that people questioned my accent was when I moved to California, and that was in the mid-1970s. And when I would say I'm from Boston, they always thought I was saying Austin. And I had to think a minute, Austin, you mean Texas? I said, and then I would say, no, Boston, Massachusetts. And then people had difficulty pronouncing Massachusetts. They would call it Massachusetts. And so I always found myself correcting people after they tried to say words that I had said. But I think in terms of accent, you know, Boston has always been a city of neighborhoods, and the neighborhoods were made up of different cultural and racial groups, and I think within those groups, the accent would be a little different.
That transitions perfectly into my next question. So what neighborhoods did you both grow up in? And can you tell the difference between other neighborhoods and how they speak?
Absolutely. I actually grew up in a suburb of Boston, Walpole, which is pretty much halfway between Boston and Providence. And the interesting thing was is that I had a girlfriend in high school who grew up in my town just like I did not have a trace of Boston accent, and I did. And I think it was because my mother grew up in Roxbury, and my father grew up in Westwood, but they both have pretty prominent Boston accent. But when I worked for orientation, there was a young man from Mark Golandella, and I said, you know, you have a Boston accent, but it's not the same as mine. And he was from East Boston. And if I think back in the day he went to South Boston, it would have been different also. So I think maybe the neighborhood you grew up in had a lot to do with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I grew up in Roxbury and later Dorchester. And, you know, those communities had a combination of predominantly black people in one part of Roxbury, a large Jewish community in another section of Roxbury, and then in Dorchester, there was a substantial Jewish community, and then there on one side, and then on the other side was an Irish community. And I think you would hear the Boston accent differently depending on which racial group you were talking to.
Yeah.
So a 2012 study by a Dartmouth professor says the accent is disappearing generationally. So people who were born here and lived their entire lives but they were younger, if they were here and their parents and their grandparents would really have it, and the parents a little less. By the time it got down to the children, they wouldn't have it anymore. Do you find that to be true, that it's disappearing across age groups?
I do. I do believe it's dying out, but I tend to think it's more because in the 80s is when they started ranking the colleges. Like I graduated from high school in 1976, and most of the kids I know went to school locally. You know, kids didn't go to California for colleges, and they pretty much stayed locally. But then in the 80s, in the 90s, the students started going all over the country, so more people came into Boston and stayed there. So I always would have attributed to the transplants here. I don't, because like I said, I grew up with, my parents spoke it, so that's where I got it from. So I don't understand, unless they went away to college or something and lost it.
I have an additional thought about that. I think that the younger generations did lose their accents because they were more mobile. I think even before they were more mobile, which would include Karen's comment about going to college elsewhere, I think we have to think about the changes in music and how music became cross-cultural, cross-racial. And so people were singing, especially when the English musicians started coming to the U.S. The Beatles, you know, were like the first big white group that black kids listened to and emulated. And so I think that as music became more crossover, I think that also affected how people sang, spoke, read, talked. And I think that as we shared slang, I think that made a change in how people sounded. And I know even for myself, you know, I went to school in New York, I worked in Tennessee, I worked and lived in California, and I think that I picked up some of the accents or the way people talked in all of the places that, that I lived in, and certainly places that I traveled to. And I think it's just a natural human thing that you sort of emulate a little bit your environment.
Do you think this leads to points of tension between people that are transplants and coming into Boston, people that have already been there and their families have been there, as we start to kind of lose or shift the way we talk about like the culture and having that accent, not having that language anymore as it's replaced by new things?
As a Black person, I'm going to say I don't think it really matters. I don't think we ever thought about people coming in that would change how the accent sounded. I don't think that was ever a part of our concern or discussion.
No, I don't think there was any tension. I know a lot of people will be like, not mocking, but teasing me about the way I talk, and I'm like, this is how we talk here, you know?
Yes.
You're the one that has the accent. I talk correctly.
That's right.
So maybe in a teasing sort of way, but I just think everyone's jealous of the way I talk.
So if decades from now, if it disappears and you can't even hear it anymore, will it matter?
I don't think so. Not for me. I think I'm more concerned about people speaking proper English and getting their grammar correct. You know, I think that we get to a place in this country where we let slang replace some basic, you know, ways that we express ourselves. And I think sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not so good. And so I'm not really all that concerned about the various accents. I was sharing with a friend who last night was taking her parents to see the theatrical version of The Lion King. And I was saying how I had seen it, and I was so excited that I had gone to England and saw it in London. But that was in 2000. And when it first, you know, went to Broadway and then went abroad. And I didn't enjoy it as much because I had to struggle to understand the British accent that these actors had. And so I remember thinking, even though England is known, or London is known for its great theater, I'm going to be careful about what I go to see and hear, because I struggle sometimes with understanding the British accent. So I can see how some people could feel the same way about particular areas of our country where people have accents and it's hard to understand.
See, I think it's kind of a shame, because I think that the Boston accent is very unique. And to me, people's unique qualities, I enjoy of them. So one time I was in Normandy in France, and I was with a group of, they were from a tourist from the U.S. I didn't know anybody. We were eating, and I was sitting at the table, and I turned to the left to talk to somebody, and I think I had a sentence, and the woman goes, "You're from Boston." And I went, I didn't know it was that obvious. And they're like, "Oh, yes." So then I turn and I was talking to somebody on the right, and this guy from Canada goes, "Oh, you're from Boston." And I'm like, "You're from Canada. You know where I'm from." So I think it's very unique. And if it disappears, I don't think it's going to be a big deal, but I think it's a shame.
For me as a college student, and most of my days either on campus or surrounded by people who are not from Boston in the first place, I don't hear it often. But I remember one place that when I walk through Fenway Park, when there's a Red Sox game, that's one place that I can hear it all the time from people either selling the tickets or people going to the game, and that's when I can really, really hear it in those rare moments. So what are some places in Boston that you think you can hear it the most?
Probably in the bars during Patriots game or the Red Sox game.
Yes, sporting events.
Yeah.
Are probably the time that you can hear it the most, because people don't necessarily monitor their voice level.
Yeah, in your love of the team,
right.
Especially with Boston sports, love of sports teams is really deep in people from Boston, so you're gonna get a lot of local people. I don't know, not maybe the festivals, they have like festivals, the Italian festivals down, but I don't know if that's all just the Bostonian people.
No, I don't think so. Sporting events are the only thing that I can really think of. Concerts, you don't really hear people talking so much. And it's funny because in Boston, sporting events seem to be the one thing that, regardless of who you are, people will connect with you based on if you're a fan of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could walk out of the park or the field or whatever the venue is, and they not even look your way.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing about Boston.
I'm sure if you go to the Gardens or you go to Fenway Park, if you really want to hear a Boston accent, the vendors are the ones that, you know, because they're from in the city. So I think you would hear probably the most with the vendors yelling.
Is having that accent a point of pride for other Bostonians? Is it a part of the culture in the sense where, like, the sports culture in Boston is really big? We're right here on the water. Those things make Boston. Is the accent just one more piece that makes Boston?
I think so. Yeah, because everyone does talk about the Boston accent. I mean, that's a, you know, you're from Boston, you have a Boston accent. There was a Dick's Sporting Goods commercial with Tom Brady. And Tom Brady was in California, and Tom Brady went to buy some sneakers or something. And the kid's like, "Oh my God, you have a Boston accent." And Tom Brady's like, "I come from San Mateo, California." And then they were like, "Oh my God, I don't understand you. You have a Boston accent." So, I mean, the whole ad was based on the Boston accent. So, yeah, I think it's pretty well known.
Yeah, what is that that makes it so iconic in comparison? So I'm from the Midwest. I do say OPE, like O-P-E, when I bump into someone, which is something I did not realize until I came here and someone told me that that's definitely a Midwestern thing. But what makes it so much more popular or so much more well-known than other regions?
I think it's because it's so bizarre, the accent itself, you know? I mean,
I don't know. I always, you know, I guess the snobbery in me as a Bostonian would say it's because we were one of the first cities in the nation. And so we feel as though everything started here, that, you know, we are the cradle of liberty. We are the founding.
Like,
we are the place that the founding fathers came to first. So, and then they spread out. So, I mean, that's what you're taught when you live in the city of Boston. And so, I think we just think that that makes us special. And you don't get as much caught up in when people start asking you about, "Are you a Bostonian?" It's when you can sort of drop whatever racial or cultural connection comes with that, that being a Bostonian is a separate thing all in itself.
Does that accent come with a personality, which I think you said it to touch on a bit? Does it all go hand in hand? The personality of someone who's from Boston and the way that they speak go together?
I think so. But, well,
No,
maybe not.
No, it does.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah,
because, yeah,
you know, Bostonians are, you know, you think Bostonians, you're not very friendly,
yes.
You very blunt,
yes.
Tell it like it is. That's kind of a Bostonian.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes with the accent,
mm-hmm.
but also coming from here.
I think when you believe that you have the Boston accent, or know that you have the Boston accent, and you really are from Boston, you know, you have a little bit of snobbery and a little bit of sense of privilege. And that doesn't come with how much money you earn or what section of the city you live in. It's just that you just take pride in that you're from Boston. And, you know, there's that term, the proper Bostonian. And so part of that being proper involves how you speak.
I read somewhere They were talking to a dialect coach, and they were saying, what was the hardest accent to teach somebody? And they said it was a Boston accent. I'm like, you bet it is.
That's right.
You know, you have to be born here to learn how to talk right.
That's true. We believe that.
Until next time, I'm Cameron McMurtry, and this is the Common Thread Podcast. Thank you.